Good afternoon, Seattle and those areas and regions between here and there, between the ultimate boundaries of comprehension and the limited realm of human failure. For all of you out there on this September the 18th, 2019, I say hello to you. I greet you from Little Saigon, Seattle. I greet you from the fashionable, low-cost economy cubicle zones. You'll see them there. I won't give you the name, but there are so many in this zone. So many of these cubicle efficiency studio-style slave compartments here in Little Saigon. And it's great, it's great. I feel like I have some good news. Well, maybe, I don't know. I will say that my recent funk may be lifting, if only because today the weather wasn't so terrible. The air seemed more clear. Actually, it almost reminded me of a clear day. Not a lot of spraying, and the clouds that were above were almost, you know, kind of normal looking. It looked like a September day today, and this is good, because it's September. So that could be why I'm a good, that could be the reason why I'm in a good mood, but truly, they might have also dumped a massive amount of endothermic material off the Pacific coast in the last couple days. So it just could be a super toxic cold wave. And the effect of clearing the sky a little is offset by all the nanoscale material in the air. So yeah, it could all just be a lot of bullshit too. Really, really don't know. I have a story for you. It is a dark story, but for those of you who worry about the future, there might be a silver lining. Now, this is a true story, and I've told it before. I bring up this story because I've watched some of Guy McPherson's videos, you know, his Nature Bats Last videos, podcasts, video logs, blogs, whatever, on his channel in recent weeks. And one of the things he'll say about the conservative, serious, journaled, refereed journals, they're so conservative, never to see any bullshit in one of these refereed journals. And here's the thing, I read the Shakova paper. It made perfect sense. And also, it wasn't really as... the paper itself doesn't really have a ton of alarmist language. It just points out that you could have a massive amount of methane released at the same time. That's what the Shakova paper says. From the Eastern Siberian Arctic Shelf, and yeah, other regions like that, other places. It's called the clathrate gun. Look it up. It might be a real thing. Who knows? It could be a real thing. But let me tell you the story, because one of the things that bothers Guy McPherson is that scientists won't be as honest as him. And he said back in the olden days, doctors would lie to patients. Back in the ancient olden days, this is a quote from Guy McPherson, because this is important. This is a guy who uses his language very fucking precisely. And because of the way he uses his language, a lot of people get scared, perhaps scared to the point of killing themselves. He says, back in the day, doctors would lie to their patients about their prognosis in order to give them some kind of fucking hope. And one of Guy McPherson's messages, if you watch any of his presentations, is hope is bullshit. Give up on hope. There is no hope. Once you throw away hope, you'll be much better. It's funny. A lot of the people I encounter online who call themselves Luciferians say exactly the same thing, but I'm sure it's just random. Yeah. Back in the day, doctors would lie to patients. Now, a statement like that implies that doctors don't still do it. So let me tell you a fucking story from the ancient time of the year 2012. About this time of year, roughly speaking, my sister Nancy called me and said, would you like to have some dinner together? And, you know, what am I supposed to say? No. She's my sister. And frankly, I would not claim to have been a really good brother. I think I was as good to Nancy as I was capable of being, and frankly, I probably let her down. I guess that's just the way people feel. We went to have dinner, and she was feeling sick, and so I took her to the emergency room. Now, keep in mind, and this topic will come up later because it's part of all the fucking scientific propaganda bullshit, she was a breast cancer survivor. And what I've come to realize between my mom and my sister Nancy is that being a breast cancer survivor is almost like a death sentence. But that's a whole separate topic. We'll discuss that later. She felt sick, so I took her to the emergency room. I took her home. And then I found out that later she had to go back to the ER. And I don't want to go into all the gory details, but over the coming weeks, and it wasn't very long, it was just a few weeks, over the following weeks, Nancy got more and more sick, and then she crashed, and she died. This is what happens with stage 4 cancer, with metastatic, rapidly growing, rapidly dividing all through the body. Like, your tissues are being torn apart from the inside out. Probably the worst torture ever if you don't have painkillers. Stage 4 cancer. That's what that is. And it really is a question of which system fails first. Is a tumor going to cause a clot? Is a tumor going to cause a hemorrhage? Is a tumor going to make it impossible for your lungs to work? Is a tumor going to impress itself upon the spinal cord and cause your entire system to instantly crash? Who the fuck knows? It's stage 4 cancer and so much fucking fun. During that time, my sister and some of my siblings asked me to... I don't know how to put this. To help out Nancy with her doctor's visits. I was going to say run interference with the oncologist, but that's not it. It's more like I was available to be there, so I volunteered to be there. And I was in one of her visits one day, and this is basically, I would say 2 weeks, maybe about 2 weeks before she died. And her oncologist, and keep in mind, you know, this is one of those medical professionals, one of those scientists that Guy McPherson has so much reverence for. You know, the really brilliant people that always tell us the fucking truth. I mean, that didn't work out so good at Tuskegee, or a number of other places, but hey, maybe with respect to the fucking climate, this is the one time in human history where scientists are the purest motherfuckers. But so for now, let's pretend that people in the biological sciences and the medical sciences are all just pieces of shit. Dr. Chang, or whatever his name was, stared at my sister right in her eyes and said, Nancy, do you want to know the truth? Because Nancy asked her, do I have a chance? And he looked her right in the eyes and said, do you want to know the truth? Now, I'm going to tell you something. Not only is that bullshit, but that is some of the most... If you've taken freshman logic, I don't know how many of you have taken freshman logic from the philosophy class. You know, maybe it's philosophy 201 at your fucking university where you mostly study your junk now. But if you've taken freshman logic, you've studied Liar's Island, and you know about how to infer things from lies. from falsehoods. And also, you know how to infer things from statements like, would you like to know the truth? Because I gotta tell you something, anytime somebody says shit like that to me, the likelihood the truth is a good thing is fucking zero. Would you like to know the truth? So not only did this guy say shit like that, but then furthermore, because some of my siblings were bothering him about my sister's status, and he didn't have the courage to tell the truth, that entire time, if he'd had the courage to tell the truth, there was no chance in hell. That entire time, if this fucking doctor behaved according to what Guy McPherson says doctors do now, a whole bunch of mental anguish could have been fucking avoided. I bring this up not because Guy McPherson is responsible for this worthless piece of shit. I'm bringing this up because maybe some of Guy McPherson's statements aren't as fucking perfectly true as Guy McPherson thinks they are. This piece of shit doctor, when he took me aside, he pulled me into a room. He said, Dan, your sister has no chance. Your sister has no chance. Minutes before he tells me that, me, one-on-one, in front of all my siblings, he tells them, oh, I was up late last night. I was up late last night. I read this article online about just overloading the system with chemotherapy. No, Dr. Chang, you are watching a fucking marathon episode of House. Perhaps like the second to last episode, one of the episodes where he's trying to save his friend. That's what you were doing, dude. That's the reality. Focus in. This guy not only lied, but he lied in the most cowardly way possible. That's one of my experiences with the absolute truth of modern science and technology and the great professors and doctors of the highly intelligent realms of our current existence. Guy McPherson is saying that our doctors are honest about the prognosis. No, he has not met a lot of doctors then. I can also tell you that for about a year, I worked around researchers at a major hospital, at a major university. That's all I'll say. And I got to tell you something. Actual professors and doctors and scientists are not like the way Guy McPherson describes them. They're not these sober-minded professionals. And they are very much driven by money. I worked on a major software project, and believe me, it wasn't about helping patients or making people's lives better. It was about money, it was about power, it was about jobs at the NIH. It had nothing to do with science. Nothing to do with truth. Nothing at all. I worked with a piece of shit software, and maybe they fixed it, but back in 2010, it was truly a piece of shit, technically 2011, called I2B2. And where did I2B2 come from? Harvard Medical School. Did I say Harvard? Now, if I'm to believe Guy McPherson, it should be an amazing piece of software, brilliant, genius, all that. This piece of shit software had queries baked into it that called records, that had queries that called records. Now, there's a database programmer out there right now that just had a migraine or a stroke. Most of you may know, have no idea what I just said, but here's the bottom line. That's just one example of how terribly shitty this piece of software is. This piece of software represented a tree using a path, which is great. The problem is most modern database systems have index limits on fields. So even if you could have a field that, let's say, was 10,000 characters wide, which you can have, that is possible, you cannot index the whole 10,000 characters. Oh, I'm sorry, did nobody fucking tell you that? This was a piece of shit software. It was so terrible. It was so fucking terrible. And yet, again, it came from some of the brilliant people of the super smart places of the United States of America. Now, the reason why I'm talking about this, the reason why I got all upset and I'm getting into this is really quite simple. I do think there are some really funky things going on with the environment. I do not know for certain what the causes are. And this is the fairest thing I can say. It is quite possible that human behavior is a significant cause. I gotta be blunt. The way people treat the environment, the behavior of people, and the simple fact that we are apex predators, and when you stack us up in cities, you got a formula for a lot of toxic shit. And that doesn't matter what era of human history you're living in. Literally. Piles of shit. But I really don't know what's causing the climate issues. Also, this issue of the clathrate gun is scientifically sound from my perspective, but I am not a geoscientist, so why the fuck would you want to take my opinion? Research the clathrate gun on your own. Research methyl hydrates in the permafrost on your own. This is either a non-topic or a real topic. If you believe the powers that be, they tell us not to worry about it. I gotta be blunt, folks. Whenever the people that run the country tell me to not worry about something, my heuristics engine says I should worry. That's simply because I don't trust the crocodile. The problem is, the people that run the crocodile are smart, and they know this, and they know that a lot of people are like me and don't trust the crocodile. Sometimes the crocodile tells the truth just to fuck with us. Sometimes the crocodile even behaves in rational ways, the ways a decent human would behave, just to fuck with us. Guy McPherson is giving a prognosis, and his prognosis is we will all be dead in about 5 to 6 years. And that could be true. I will be blunt, folks. In 2015, I went through the process of just thinking about the future of this country, and it had nothing to do with the clathrate gun. I wasn't even thinking about climate change. At the time, I was one of those people that kind of bought into this whole maybe there's going to be an ice age. Because, yeah, maybe they are fucking with the weather to convince us things are colder than they are. I really don't know. I don't spend a lot of time in Australia or China or Europe or the Middle East or anywhere else. I've been around this country. That's about it. I've been to a few other countries long ago. But I have no idea if the climate is as fucked up in these other places, as Dane Wigington, for example, says they are. I have no idea. But Guy McPherson is telling us we will all be dead. Now me, I think half of us will probably be dead in the next 20 years, not because we all got murdered in the night, but because of population shift behavior, because of economic issues, frankly, because of a lot of structural issues. In fact, I think the future of the human race is pretty rocky. And that's not even considering climate change. Like, you could take climate change as an issue and say to yourself, do you think it's true? Do you think it's false? And if it's true, is it a serious issue? From my perspective, if you wanted to, you could take that issue and set it aside for a moment. The human race faces enough structural issues, especially runaway government, especially war, especially the creeping technological superstate of mind control, which really is what it is. They want to control us to the point that we don't have one fucking independent thought. We are facing situations that have nothing, zero zip nada to do with climate, and those situations could pretty much not necessarily kill all of us, but yeah, a third to a half. Do I think that we could experience something like the 14th century crisis? I've told you guys this before. I think we're due. I think we're due for a 500-year event. And I have no fucking clue what that'll look like. And I pray to God in heaven that there are intelligent people in charge of every fucking nuclear power facility in the world when it happens. Because, you see, we've ratcheted up human civilization a lot, folks. This isn't like the Tower of Babel in ancient times. Yeah, that tower might have been pretty fucking tall. It might have been 20 miles tall. Those were biblical times, and then it fell over. This is not that, folks. And I guess it is a metaphor, but this metaphor is the one I'm going to use. The Tower of Babel, quote unquote, that we have built with modern technological civilization, it is incomprehensibly tall and heavy and top heavy and unstable. It is incomprehensibly impossible to predict in terms of that failure. It is heavy and large and gigantic. It is, I don't know how to describe it, a billion times bigger than Mount Everest in that metaphorical sense. This artifice we built around ourselves is so heavy that if we're not careful, it could collapse on top of us and kill us. That's one of those things that people don't think about. This isn't like the Mayans or the Romans. This isn't even necessarily like the Soviet Union, though that was pretty bad, and it could have been worse. I mean, people were very, very worried back in the 90s about accidental nuclear war, because God forbid some weird group in one of the stands, Kazakhstan, at all the stands, there's so many stands. Yeah, one of the stands gets a nuke and does something crazy. So, and here's the other thing too, folks. I'm beating up on Guy McPherson a little bit because it struck me yesterday that his level of certainty was not justified. Like, it's not that I think he's wrong. I fear that there's at least a 50% chance he's right. I say 50% because at this point, if you want to, you know, what I use these metaphors, these weird descriptions. I once described to you guys that, you know, the future is like being on a cliff with a hang glider and looking out and seeing all these islands in front of you across this great ocean, and the ocean is filled with sharks. And you've got islands nearby labeled World War III and global civilization collapse and all the terrible things, you know, all these nuclear reactors cooking off, all these islands nearby, the ones that are easy to get to, the ones where you literally could fall off the cliff and get there. They're all labeled pretty terrible shit. And then way off in the distance, maybe 20, 50 miles away, which means you got to catch a few thermals. Way off in the distance are islands like, you know, free energy and faster than light travel and, you know, Earth biosystem repair and all the things that could make life in the future less crappy. But the problem is those islands are way the fuck, you know, like I said, the likelihood we'll get to them is, I don't know, not great. And Ray Kurzweil's singularity, whether you want to admit it to yourself or not, is one of those islands, way the fuck off in the distance. That's what I believe. Now, some of you believe there's a deep cabal of super technology and that the aliens gave it to us and all this other crap. Problem is, I'm a Christian, so when you say alien, I say demon. Because that's the only explanation. Sorry. I'm not a Christian with an asterisk. I'm not one of these New Agey Christians. I'm not going to tell you that I believe some jackass just because he read the Red Sea Scrolls and assumed the first set of documents you find in a bunch of fucking clay pots must be the fucking truth. Yeah. And oh, by the way, to all you fucking people who critique the New Testament, I was there before you. Believe me, Nietzsche was there before Craig Wynne. Okay, please, read The Antichrist by Friedrich Nietzsche. Craig Wynne, Nietzsche came to your stupid fucking conclusions more than a century before you were born, dumbass. Anyways, we're not going to talk about Craig Wynne right now or Jordan Maxwell or all the people that tell me that Christ was really a Canaanite god. I have to say that if you listen to the full message of some of these messengers, it's not such a great message. That being said, let's stay focused. What did Guy McPherson tell us in his various presentations over and over again? Every presentation he says this. Back in the day, doctors would give patients false hope. Guy, they didn't stop being shitbirds, okay? That's one of my messages to you folks out there that are listening to Guy McPherson. You need to know that that statement is false in the following sense. They never stop being shitbirds. They never stop lying. They never stop being incompetent. And here's another fact I will inject from my own experience. Yes, I don't have a PhD. I just have 3 degrees and some experience working as a slave for PhDs, including helping a social justice warrior climber at 1 or 2 points in my life get their PhDs. Yeah, that's always fun. So you don't have to fucking listen to me, but I'm going to tell you there's a couple things that Guy is saying that I can now say we need to ask questions about and maybe call bullshit. One is that somehow we can trust scientists because they have PhDs and universities have journals that are peer-reviewed. Folks, if you don't think that a large group of people can be stupid at the same time, you have not studied history. You don't know about the Nazi Party. The fact is, groups of people en masse can be very stupid, and that includes intelligent people. Groups of intelligent people can be stupid. So if someone told me that the whole consensus of all scientists believe something, I would still probably be the first person who says, well, what if that's not true? I want to, and I'm going to go a step further to somebody like Guy McPherson and other people. I don't want to live in a world where people pretend that they can have that kind of certainty. Because you can't. You cannot be that certain. Here is what I'm certain of. Everybody will die. I am certain everyone will die. Okay? Every person you ever met will die. I am sorry I told you that, but that's the truth. And here's the thing. One of the things I do applaud about Guy McPherson is he has the courage to have that conversation. Because clearly, there are a lot of weird parents out there who've raised some millennials and Generation Z to believe that maybe they might live forever or something because of some secular or technological bullshit. No, no, no. And if they offer it to you, it will most likely be a lie. Guy McPherson said that these scientists are conservative and they don't make outlandish statements and they're very, very honest and truthful, but they're so conservative that they won't go further. They won't do the thing where a doctor tells you the truth like they do today, according to him. They're all so fucking truthful, which is total bullshit. There is no juxtapose the past with the present there, Guy. Whatever past you lived in is still the fucking present for a lot of us people and the healthcare we get from award-winning oncologists who are certain they know the absolute truth. Let's talk about the statement, the science is settled. This is a fun fucking statement when someone says the science is settled. And this is where we get to talk about the label. And I love this label now. It's one of my favorite labels, breast cancer survivor. Here's one of the things I've learned about people and cancer. Other than the fact that I think that cancer and autoimmune are sibling disorders and are related to the immune system collapsing and probably are not as related to specific genetic features. Like, I think it's more environmental than genetic, but that's controversial because that means we're poisoning ourselves and nobody wants to admit that. If you are to listen to the SCCA, the Seattle Cancer Care Alliance, or to Fred Hutch or any of the experts in Seattle that deal with cancer, they will periodically tell you they know this and they know that. We know that this is true and we know that that is true and we know that this causes cancer and we're certain. After my sister Nancy died in 2012, it became common practice, or I should say, it became accepted as doctrine that if you had BRCA2, which was a single nucleotide polymorphism, in your genetic code, then there were specific things you needed to do to avoid cancer, one of which was to have all of your reproductive organs, all of your essentially sex-linked organs or gender-linked organs removed, if you have BRCA2. And if you don't know what a single nucleotide polymorphism is, I'll keep it really simple. You can think of it as a kind of marker or label or flashing light. Polymorphism means that that region of the genetic code exhibits differential behaviors and can act as a correlating marker. That's what that means. It doesn't really tell you anything more. It doesn't really say they know why that's connected to breast cancer or why it makes sense to remove all of your reproductive organs. It's just they know that there's a high correlation. I hate to break to you folks, a lot of genetic stuff still, in fact, maybe even most of it, is about correlation, hit and miss shit. If you think they understand fully dynamic proteomics, if you think we're at the point now where we fully understand how enfolding DNA synthesizes biochemical structures, you're a fucking moron. That is still a relatively new science. And the problem is, that is the magic of genetics. That isn't, in fact, where DNA does its fancy work. People will think of DNA as a big computer program. No, it's actually more like a computer. In fact, bigger than that, in a lot of ways, it's more like a smart factory. DNA is way more like a smart factory. It is capable of pulling compounds out of its environment and creating new compounds. That sounds like a factory to me. And it can do so in a very intelligent way. I'm sorry for the little side topic, but after my sister Nancy died, then it was, oh no, now we know that if you have BRCA2, we also have to remove all your sexual organs. And now the science is settled. My sister Nancy was a breast cancer survivor. My mom was a breast cancer survivor. I keep meeting breast cancer survivors, and then a few years later, I hear about them dying. Now, I'm not going to tell you that if you're a breast cancer survivor, you're doomed. What I will say is this. Go to your checkups. If you're going to go down the allopathic, I think that's the correct terminology, the path of conventional medicine, do your checkups. Take the drugs. I'm not saying it's going to work, but if you're going to commit yourself to that path, you pretty much have to commit yourself. You really, really do. Because that next cancer, the one that comes after, the one that comes after you're in remission and you're healed and you're a breast cancer survivor, it's anecdotal, but I run into more and more situations. That's the one that kills you. That's the one that hits you like a freight train. That's the one that slides in, and then you're back to doing chemo every 6 months until you die. Another little thing to contemplate. Just a piece of information. The climate is a complex system. And that is putting it mildly. And it's really not technically a closed system. In fact, it's not only not a closed system, but you couldn't possibly treat it as a closed system. Why? Because we get all of our energy from where? The sun. We get the energy, the primary source of energy, other than other than energy coming from the earth, other than geothermal, other than the energy that is produced from the core of the earth, the molten core, we get, there are other primary source of energy. In fact, our main source of energy vis-a-vis life on earth is the sun. And you could argue that even the energy inside the earth, even the core itself, partly owes its energy to the sun, because we are a planet. We are captured in a great machine called the solar system. Our movement through space, the rotation of the earth, these things are all connected to the sun. So even the energy generated by our core has an indirect connection to the sun. But the bottom line is, you cannot treat life on earth as a closed system. It's extraordinarily complex. For example, let's say the clathrate gun got pulled and you had a massive methane release and the Earth's temperature went up by 1 degree Celsius over a course of whatever, the 90 days or few months that people think it could happen. Worst case scenario, we get 1 degree Celsius in a few months. Additional average temperature, 1 degree Celsius. And that's, you know, pretty big. And then you have a massive melting event, and that's big too. But as Guy McPherson points out, when ice melts, for example, off of Greenland, Greenland itself experiences a geological event. It actually rises. That mass, that weight melting away into the ocean, actually reduces pressure on Greenland. So Greenland actually lifts up a bit. Now you say, Dan, why are you mentioning that? Because not only is life on Earth not a closed system, but life on Earth is a complex system dependent upon other complex systems, like the geothermal system of the Earth itself. I have no fucking clue what happens when something that's nearly continent-sized, Greenland, when this giant chunk of rock suddenly loses some percentage of its mass and rises up. But if you think that has zero effect upon the plates, the actual continental plates, if you think that has no effect on at all, no effect, no. Why, Dan, what do you mean? A large continent rising up from the Earth because pressure is released? Why would that have an effect? Folks, come on. Use your common sense. Think about it. If the force of the Earth can create mountain ranges, probably lifting equivalent mass or reducing pressure would also have effects, which means that who the fuck knows what happens. Maybe it opens up some huge magma tunnel or magma shaft, and all of a sudden Yellowstone cooks off. We don't fucking know. And if Yellowstone did cook off, and who knows, if a whole bunch of other volcanoes and calderas cooked off too, then you're talking about, along with the clathrate gun event, what you're really talking about at this point is a little ice age. Because now you're pushing tons and tons of material into the atmosphere, and it's a race. It's a race between whether or not the methane can heat the Earth fast enough. But the problem is the methane won't win. The methane can't win because it has zero effect upon the geothermal energy of the Earth itself. Once that event gets triggered, it basically has the ball. It's like the clathrate gun had the ball, and then Greenland loses mass and triggers a bunch of huge geological events. And now the ball goes to the caldera, and the caldera is running down the field. And they're all on the same team. The team's called Disaster. But the clathrate gun thought, oh, I'm going to get the touchdown. But no. The touchdown goes to, wait for it, ice age. And why? Because something involving life, something involving humans, something involving the chemistry of the atmosphere did in fact end up impacting the geothermal behaviors of the Earth itself. The Earth is a whole energy system. You know, Dane Wigington, and I love this, he talks about life and the Earth in terms of being an energy system. But it's a whole energy system, and it's not a closed system. It never was. It is a whole energy system, which means that when we talk about life, we really can't ignore geological events. We really can't. And when we talk about life, it might even be worse than that. We may be in a strange dance with planet Earth on a level we don't even possibly understand. I'm a Christian, so if you were to ask me, would God create a planet that would have built into it behaviors that are, well, how can I phrase this? Naturally smiting, which means behaviors that if you put your hand on the stove too many times, you get your hand burned. Yes, I think there's a reason why when we put our hand on the stove, it gets burned. And I think there's a reason why if we fuck things up periodically, the earth shakes itself like a dog shaking off fleas. And that doesn't mean all the fleas go away. But a lot of fleas might. I didn't intend to do this podcast to beat up on Guy McPherson, because I'm really not. From my perspective, he's probably a decent guy. I hope he is, because he's basically telling people something that is really heavy. And you know what? When you tell people, this is the thing about Guy. He can talk about people being excellent and all this other shit, but frankly, he sounds kind of condescending when he says it. But here's the deal, folks. A lot of people don't have much. In fact, you could argue most of the people on planet Earth right now do not have much. In fact, they might only have one fucking thing. And that is the hope that the current existential pain, the current existential grind, the current being driven to fucking dust by a techno world, a techno fascistic, upside down, sideways, cancer world, out of control, the only hope they have is that there's an escape from that hell. And what Guy basically is saying is not only is there no escape, fuck you, go ahead, be excellent with your fucking cancer food, fuck you. But in 5 years, you'll all be dead, and I'm certain because scientists in peer-reviewed journals never fucking lie. I know for a fact that doctors still lie to patients. So that statement by Guy McPherson is a load of bullshit. In fact, I know that's true on a massive scale. If you look at Big Pharma, if you look at the shit that they sell to people once you enter a hospital, they totally lie to patients. And as far as the perfection and the soundness of fucking medicine, Guy McPherson, did you know that several years ago, surgical nurses started using magical fucking markers on fucking human bodies so that surgeons wouldn't cut off the wrong leg or remove the wrong organ? Gee. These scientists really do sound foolproof. These technological geniuses, these highly intelligent people, really do sound like they never make mistakes. That is sarcasm coming through. At the beginning of this podcast, I told you there was a chance I might have some good news. And this is the good news, in a way. I am totally convinced that there is something going on with the weather. This is not a question for me. I don't know what it is, and that also is worrisome because not knowing is where fear comes from. But I will tell you that I do not believe Guy McPherson to be a straight shooter because I have meditated on some of his fucking statements, and they're powerful statements, but I think they're fucking bullshit. One of which he uses over and over and over again in all of his fucking little lectures is hope is bullshit. And doctors don't lie to patients any longer. Well, I think one of those statements is absolutely false. And the other statement is probably false. In fact, mostly false. So there's that. The other thing he said is that the scientific world of referee journal fucking blah, blah, blah is so perfect that they're only conservative. So if they say that the house is on fire, in all likelihood, it's been destroyed by a neutron bomb. That's his basic implication, that if the refereed fucking journaled fucking bullshit says that the situation with the climate is this bad, it's 10 times worse. Or it's really bad and they don't have the courage to say it. Well, I don't know, Guy, but it's been my experience so far that people are far less than perfect. Including you. And this is just a message to people like Guy who go on the internet claiming they know for certain. I don't know for certain a lot of things. There are some things I'm pretty sure about, but it's only because, you know, reality has hit me in the face that many times. And that's how we learn. We learn from making mistakes and not dying. Yeah, sometimes it sounds like I'm pretty certain the future is very unstable. I stick by that prediction, folks, that we are in an incredibly unstable period of human history. But what does that actually mean? What does that mean, unstable? What it means is that for a very long time, I think a lot of people took it for granted that the river of history was going to be relatively calm. This is related to that Fukuyama fucking endism bullshit. End of history bullshit. I don't know how or why someone like that gets a fucking PhD in history. But it does go to show you how stupid academia is. Oh yeah, Guy McPherson. How does a guy like Fukuyama get fucking listened to? The end of history? The only way Fukuyama makes sense is if he believes the same shit Guy does. That history will end in 5 years. Then absolutely, Fukuyama's right. But that's not what Fukuyama was saying. He was saying that we've achieved liberal democracy and the world is going towards a kind of fuzzy, wuzzy, wooliness and blah, 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 and America, blah, blah, blah. No, it was triumphalism. It was the achievement of the American dream, the American century. And that's what Fukuyama was expressing, which was total fucking bullshit. But once again, Fukuyama is also a professor, well-respected professor in the world of academia. There have been many scientists in the world of academia who have expressed terrible things and have done, in my opinion, terrible things. So just because someone's really smart, don't for a moment think that that implies anything about their principles or whether or not they would lie. Wernher von Braun helped us get to the moon. If you believe we got to the moon, he helped us get to the moon. He also helped to manage to administer a labor camp during World War II. And when I say labor camp, I mean death camp. But death camp with advantages, where not only did you slowly die, but you got to help build components for rockets to fire at England. He helped to work out the caloric level, the optimal calorie level. You need to listen to this, folks. Von Braun and his assistants during World War II worked out optimal levels of calories so that they could work people in an optimal way and get as much out of them, and they would still die within X number of months. They worked out the formulas of a death factory. But he's brilliant. He helped us go to the moon. If you believe a bunch of Satanists and Nazis helped us get to the moon, then yes, von Braun helped us get to the fucking moon. And he is one of these brilliant fucking people in history I'm supposed to fucking believe because he's so fucking smart. The refereed journals of science in the field of medicine for decades believed that ulcers in the stomach were caused by stress. It's stress. You got to stop drinking coffee. Don't drink that whiskey. It's stress. Oh, your food is too acidic. Here, take some aluminum. Take some aluminum Tums. That'll help. That'll help. Why don't you pour some aluminum into your stomach? Oh, yeah, and on that topic, the refereed journal Environmental Sciences still don't recognize aluminum as a threat to people. Yeah. The Alzheimer's organizations won't even allow you to discuss aluminum, even though they get money from companies, wait for it, that manufacture most of the fucking aluminum. Anywho, what were we saying about the refereed journal, conservative, scientific, academic fucking papers and bullshit? For decades, doctors were certain, 100% certain, that if you had ulcers in your stomach, it was because of stress. And then, I think it was one or a couple doctors, and I think they were in Australia, it was back in the 70s or 80s, started giving antibiotics to people with ulcers. And oh, lo and behold, their ulcers began to heal. Now, what is the point of my fucking story about this, about that, and about people being called breast cancer survivors, and about Guy McPherson telling us we all have 5 years to live? I'm going to wrap up this podcast and keep it really simple, and this is the fucking point. And I know this is a heavy podcast, but if you're one of those folks who've been interacting with me over the last few months on this issue, because I had to explore it, folks. I had to go as deep as I could intellectually, because to me, it's like, why would you ignore it? That's why I had to read the Shakova paper, because to me, it's a real thing. I am not telling you the climate is in good shape. I'm simply saying, I don't know, but here's what I am telling you. Guy McPherson and people like him are not God. And even if you're an atheist, Guy McPherson and scientists are not perfect. They make mistakes. They tell us things they think are true. Even the honest ones. I think Guy McPherson might be an honest person. I know I'm kind of beating up on him, but only because his message could... I believe his message could cause a lot of people to kill themselves. Because literally, he's giving them no other option. You're going to die. There's no choice. You're going to be dead. Well, you know what, Guy? A lot of people, including me, that's enough, you know? What am I living for? To have more people tell me that white men like me ruined history and, oh, by the way, we'll all be dead anyways? I think that there's reason to avoid that party. And I have Christ in my life, so that's keeping me from doing it. But there's a lot of people out there who are dead cold, dead-eyed atheists, just like Guy McPherson. And if you tell them that it's Lars von Trier melancholia time, but you don't get Kirsten Dunst naked by the canal, then you know what? And yeah, you need to watch that movie to understand that reference. But you know what, though? You know what? There's no hope. This is the simple message. If somebody tells you they know for certain, they know 100% for certain what's going to happen tomorrow, they are lying. That includes me. Sometimes I sound like I know for certain. And I gotta say, like I said, I do believe we are on the verge of what I've referred to as the great discontinuity. But the point is, that doesn't really mean anything. All that really means is that we could see some incredibly wacky historical behavior. That's a really nice way of putting it. Wacky, crazy, can sometimes mean really bad, and sometimes can mean really good. It can. It can go both ways, folks. History can be like that. But I think we are on the verge of what, you know, people who study extinction and biology will sometimes call punctuated equilibrium. We're approaching the fucking punctuation mark, folks. The bang. And that doesn't mean necessarily good or bad, but it does mean rapid transition. It does mean disruptive. And for people that cling to a paradigm over family, over food, over freedom, to people who cling to an ideology over their own survival, even if it's good, it could still be bad. And for Christians like me, if somebody comes along here in a few months and says, oh boy, I've got a fix for the climate, and I have a fix for the food, and I'm going to make everybody okay, and everyone's going to have universal basic income, and everyone is going to have love, except, oh, by the way, the Christians ruined everything. There's going to be one world religion, and if you're not willing to be monitored 24/7, well, you're not going to eat. Depending upon how you see the world, the next few years are going to be very interesting. If you're religious, you're probably going to see signs in the heaven. If you're an atheist, you're probably going to see aliens. That's the truth. And one of us will be right. But as far as like knowing that the clathrate gun trigger has been pulled and the earth is going to superheat, up until a few days ago, I would have said, you know what? I think he's right. Right now, I'm 50-50. That could be a true story. The science behind it makes sense. The problem is, I didn't collect the data. I didn't interview the scientists. I don't know to what extent I'm being lied to. And my experience with quote-unquote PhDs behind closed doors when they're being honest, let me tell you one last story so that we can remove the breast cancer survivor, the science is settled, we're all dead in 5 years issue podcast, and it can be over. When I was working as a bioinformatics specialist with some research scientists, I had a conversation with a cancer researcher, an oncologist. And I said, and this is, you know, stupidly, I said, why don't we every year give everybody a full body CAT scan, a full scan? And this researcher said, listen, if you were to give a person a body scan at any random point in time, you could see things, technically neoplasms, technically identifiable as tumors, and yet that would not imply the person's going to die. You guys need to hold on to this for a second. Your body is a complex system. I'm going to blow your mind, or maybe not. If you've actually studied the refereed journal materials on cancer, you should know this already. Humans get cancer all the fucking time. Why? Because it's mechanical breakdown theory. It's the Poisson curve. Given enough complexity, given enough time, things fail. And the problem is, as brilliant as the human body is, it's still a very complex system. And so every once in a while, you get runaway tissue disorder. That's called cancer. And if your immune system is working correctly, you know what it does? It takes a look at those few fucking, you know, weird liver cells or weird lung cells or weird fucking blood cells, and it says, you guys don't belong here, you're out of here. And your immune system takes them out. In a healthy person, that's what happens. And if you're a little sick, it's entirely plausible, according to this researcher, you could have a malignant tumor show up on a scan that could look horrible, and that, according to current practice, would need to be biopsied, and yet you still might be okay, because your immune system still might come back and kill that cancer. The body is not a linear machine, folks. It isn't. It is a complex system. In fact, the body is in many ways an ecosystem too. Oh yeah. And guess what? We're host to living things that keep us alive. And if we kill those things inside of us that keep us alive... it's bad. You have tons of living things inside of you that are not technically human that keep you from dying. What this researcher said was, is that we do not know enough yet that we could scan your body and tell you if you're sick or well. That we still depend upon you, for all practical purposes, to come into the office and say, I do not feel well. I feel sick. That not every malignant cancer kills people. That's something you guys got to wrap your heads around, because a lot of oncologists and cancer research don't like talking about this. They don't like talking about the placebo effect, and they do not like talking about the fact that people have had malignant cancers and they've survived without any additional treatment. And the only explanation is, well, it's statistics. It's just probability. There's always outliers. Well, of course there are outliers. I'd like to study those. You know, it's nice to avoid poisons and radiation, folks. It's good to avoid surgery. All three of those things. And this is also really fucking important before we leave. The whole cure is worse than the disease thing. The whole let's keep fucking and feeding and putting particles into the atmosphere, because if we don't, according to Guy McPherson, we're fuck thing. Okay? Radiation, chemo, surgery. These are assaults on the immune system. So let's say these are the guys that come in to save the day to kill your tumors. Well, that's great. But it turns out your immune system is that much weaker the next time. Which also implies that if you respond to bad news that might actually not be bad news in the wrong way, you can harm yourself. Oh yeah, life is complicated. Life is a mess sometimes. But what I am telling you right now, and I need to close this podcast out because it's hard for me to talk about Nancy and it's hard for me to talk about what happened, is that just because somebody with a PhD tells you something, it does not imply it's true. Just because someone with a PhD tells you the world will end in 5 years does not mean it's true. Just because someone with an MD or a degree tells you to take a pill does not mean you should take it. And if I'm the first person to tell you this, I'm sorry, because someone should have told you this a long time ago. It's exactly what Noam Chomsky said. Not only should you not simply listen to authority, you are obligated to critique authority. And that's every authority, not just people that get elected, which frankly are not usually the people with the power anyways. It's really, maybe especially, specifically the technocrats, the conservative intelligent scientists of the peer-reviewed journals. Those people usually have a lot more power than some congressperson, and or at least they're closer to the power. I should say that. They are closer to the truth. So yeah, I'm going to leave you with that, that final thought, that even though I've talked a lot about abrupt climate change in recent weeks, and I still may talk about it from time to time, I am simply not as concerned for the following fact. I've meditated upon Dr. McPherson's words, and the problem is some of them, even though it may not be intentional, I know are false. And they're false on a deep level. They put into question one of his basic premises, and that is we should trust with 100% certainty what we're being told by the scientists. I don't believe that. And if that means that there is no sound source of truth from humans at this point in 2019, folks, what have I been saying over and over again? Yeah, duh. It sucks. You're mostly being lied to. Have a great afternoon.